Yes, they just want more sin and more sin and more experience of the thrilling and the exciting and tempting God as they just wholly go after Satan the devil. Let's go to the next track, please. This is part B of the late great UK and USA and the terrible debt that we have, and why is this judgment coming upon us? Now let's continue on here in Isaiah 5. Let's pick it up here in verse 19. Who say, let him hurry and hasten his work so that we may see it. Prove to us, in other words, that you exist. And let the purpose of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, so that we may know. Well, yes, he's already sent it. It's in the Bible. It's in your home. It's right there. But are you willing to repent? Are you willing to obey God? Are you willing to follow God? Now, notice where we have come to, and this has come about by incrementalism. Changing from godliness to Satanism incrementally. What are those who call evil good and good evil? And that's what we've done. Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that follows all the way through every aspect of the societies in the UK and the USA. Who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. Woe, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, so here's how God is going to do it, and we can expect it to increase. As the fire devours the stubble and flame burns up the chaff. Now, have you ever seen that? Yes, indeed. Their root shall be like rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up like dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They've gotten God out of their lives. We have kicked God out of our schools. We've kicked God out of the government. We've kicked God out of our lives. We have kicked God out of the family, and it has disintegrated. And we have also committed a great and a horrible sin. And remember this, sin can be overcome through repentance and obedience. However, you can never correct sin with a political solution. And when sin consumes a people, and there is one great, fantastic sin that has come upon us, in addition to kicking God out of the lives of everyone. What is that great and that mighty sin? Let's see how it started. It started with women's lib. And it first came about, why should not a woman be able to vote? I'm talking about here in America. I don't know what it's like any other countries. But nevertheless, here, since we're talking about us. And there's nothing wrong with women voting. So how could you be against that? But you see, there is the introduction of sin and the multiplication of sin by stealth and incrementalism. That's how Satan always works. You can see it working in society. You can see it working in churches. You can see it working in schools. You can see it working in the lives of individuals. And we all know from keeping the Feast of Unleavened Bread that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So the next great event was the Scopes trial and getting rid of God out of the schools. And then the next great thing that took place was, because of World War II, many women had to go out and work for the defense thing, to build the planes and ships and tanks and guns and things like this. And so women began to assert more and more power, get into the political realm. Then it shifted over. In the late 50s, it shifted over into sex education in schools and equality in sex, illicit sex, because women were told, well, if men go around and commit adultery, well, why should women be limited to one man? After all, Satan loves the fairness doctrine because he's going to give equal opportunity sin. And it all sounds good. It all sounds, well, with sex education we could solve the problems of illegitimacy. Have they? But what really happened? And this is not picking on women. As I explained to someone down in Waco, who got a little offended because I was discussing this between services, I said, women are the linchpin of morality of any society. I said, people decry pornography. Yes. However, if there weren't women willing to undress, and millions of them set up their own pornographic website, some of them even teachers of little kiddies in school. And you will notice it's not the male teacher conquering female students, it's the female teachers conquering male students. More than the other. So here's what's happened. Let's come to Leviticus 19. And this happens in any society that does this. Because women are the linchpin to morality. If women become promiscuous, the whole society becomes promiscuous. Leviticus 19 and verse 29. Now, rather than get angry, don't anyone think I'm picking on women. Someone's going to say, well, there's going to be rapes. Well, you see, if they taught the Ten Commandments in school, and if they taught love your neighbor as yourself, and everyone was taught to have a conscience, there would be so few rapes that it would be just a horrible, unthinkable crime and incident when any single one took place. But you see, the truth is, if a woman says no and does not flaunt herself, and today teenagers expect to have sex on the first date, and they've all been liberated with a pill and abortion. And since there's no God, since there's no conscience, what do you expect them to do? Read it right here, verse 29. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom. Has the land fallen to whoredom? Yes, indeed. And the land become full of wickedness, because one thing leads to another. And remember the warning that came out when they legalized abortion, and we have since killed innocence in the womb that God creates within a woman. A woman has a special sacred blessing from God to be able to bring forth the next generation. Yes, it is. It's a trust. God is trusting you to take care of that life. What they say, well, it's a woman's body. Not when there's another body in there, you see. And just recently, the Supreme Court held up the law which said partial birth abortion that was outlawed. However, it hasn't stopped the doctors one whit. Because the law didn't say one thing about lethal injection. So now, instead of letting the baby be partially born and then puncturing its skull and sucking out the brains to kill it, they simply give a lethal injection while it's still in the womb, and when it's born, it is still born. Now, God is going to judge for that. He is judging for that. Because every time there's an abortion and the doctor goes in there and rips out, cuts asunder, in pieces, a new life that God has formed with the inheritance from the father and the mother, given the spirit of man to that little infant life, so when it comes time to be born into the world, that it's born into a family with a mother and with a father. And so 50% or greater of the women in America are whores. Beg your pardon, hookers. They want to hook up with as many men as they can. And God is judging for that. Now consider this. I've mentioned it before, but we need to consider it again even more. There's 1.4 immigrants for every abortion that has been committed, and we have slain. You think Hitler was evil with the Holocaust? Nothing compared to what we have done in America. 50 million abortions. And now they want to have it so you don't even think about it. You just take a morning after pill and... God's judgment is coming because you're dealing with the issues of life. And don't think it's going to be turned back politically. Remember this, you cannot solve a spiritual problem with a political solution. So until there's repentance of not only rejecting God, but of prostituting and making whores out of the daughters. And if you don't believe that, look at the way they dress. Look at what goes into their minds and in their hearts. And a lot of it is laid at the doorsteps of the mothers and fathers who are living in a society where they have to have more and more and more and more and more and buy and buy and buy and buy and buy and buy. To where we as individuals have more debt than any people in the world. Individually. Nothing is paid for cash anymore. And the government is the worst offender of all. But our consumption and what we bring into the United States with all the billions of dollars that are sold is creating a terrible and a wretched situation that is bringing about the collapse of the United States of America and the UK. That's why jobs go overseas. That's why there have been changes incrementally. And there has been a great traitorous movement to bring about the North American Union. And there is no other alternative outside of repentance. That's why the borders have never been closed, and it was agreed not to close them at the highest levels. Now they're making a paltry little thing to try and make it look like they're trying to enforce it. But there's an overriding problem that's coming. You want all this money to spend, you want all of this debt, you want all these government services, you want to reject God and then go off and fight a war like in Iraq to save their right to worship Allah while you reject God out of your government? And while in Nigeria, let me read to you what's going to come to America here in just a bit. Well, let's talk about the federal deficit. While we talk about it, I want you to think about yours. I've said for at least 5 years, get out of debt as much as you can. Some have followed that. I talked to a man who just volunteered the information. He said, I followed that with my 401k. And I got out of my 401k in American dollars, and I went to a 401k gold, which invests in golds. And he says, I've doubled my money already. Now, I can't be your financial advisor. I wasn't him, his. I didn't tell him what to do. He heard and acted upon his own and made his own decision. So what we are doing is this. Let me read this here, okay? The causes for this precarious situation are clear. Free trade agreements favor the multinational corporations at the expense of American manufacturing and labor because of the unfair taxation on American corporations that they don't have with the ones overseas. You can read it in the book. I recommend you get this book and read every single word. And that will help you understand. Even Mexico is being inundated with cheap Mexican goods to the detriment of low-cost Mexican manufacturing and assembly plants. Put simply, the free trade agreements negotiated in recent decades are not fair trade agreements. Instead, multinational corporations have used free trade agreements to stack the deck against the United States because they want to make money, 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 money. That's the name of the game. And you go back and you read in Revelation 18 how the merchants of the earth, it's talking about multinational corporations, they run the world. The governments of the world are the puppets of the multinational corporations and bankers. No getting around it. Second, the open border policy of the Bush administration has allowed millions of uneducated, low-skilled Mexicans to flood into our country. As a result, union employees must compete with workers willing to accept much lower levels of pay. At the same time, the American taxpayers subsidize the Mexican underclass by providing ample social benefits that range of benefits include free medical care and hospital emergency room, free public education, a variety of welfare programs that are especially generous for those children of illegal aliens who are born in the United States. And an American citizen wrote a very cynical satire to President Bush and saying, "President Bush, I would like to be reclassified as an illegal alien, so that I may receive free medical, that I may receive free SSI, that I may send my children to college at no expense, that I may get free food stamps, that I may get preferential treatment. Because as a citizen, I have to pay taxes and I have to support all of this. And now living where I live in California, I am now in the minority. So I want to be classified as a minority." Third, the federal deficit is likely to increase as the U.S. population grows older. This deficit will only compound if the Bush administration totalizes U.S. Social Security benefits to include Mexicans who work in the United States both legally and illegally. And what you need to understand is that is what they're going to do. Remember what it says? The stranger within you shall rise up very high above you, and you shall come down very low. Why? Because of the government. Why? Because of the sins of the people. Why? Because of the multinational corporations. Why? Because of the elite power people in the world that control all of these things who worship Satan the devil. That's why. Didn't have to be this way because we have the Bible. It didn't have to be this way because we could have loved God and kept His commandments. But because of lying, cheating preachers and ministers and priests who are as corrupt as any of the corrupt citizenry, have misrepresented God, have lied to us about God, have put us into bondage of religious lies coming directly out of the cauldron of Satan the devil. Here, in the middle of September, guess what's in the stores to merchandise all of the people? Christmas things, even overriding Halloween. No longer wait until the day after Thanksgiving. Oh, no. We got to merchandise them, merchandise them, merchandise them, merchandise them. Take every penny, put them in debt, put it on a credit card. Do it as fast as you can so that the nation will go down quicker. See, the key to all of this is they want to wipe out the middle class so they have a bunch of subservient slaves that when the crash of the dollar comes, they will be homeless, they will be penniless, and they will be dependent upon the government. And if you have riots, they have already prepared with concentration camps. One man in New Mexico who works for a company that cleans out the National Guard armories every week or every 2 weeks, he said, a couple of years ago, they had two trucks, and they had their rifles and they had their weapons, you know, for a regular army type of operation. He says, now, every one of them has 28 trucks. and they all have riot gear, and they've got stocks and stocks of tear gas. They're preparing for riots for the collapse of the dollar and the enslavement of the American people within their own land. Let's read a little more here. These trends promise a growing income gap to the United States between the very rich and the very poor, to the clear detriment of the middle class. As more jobs go overseas, the United States stands to lose the most economically successful middle class in the history of the world, and I'll add here, because you have forgotten God, because you won't keep the Sabbath, because you're too interested in yourself and your sports and your sins and everything that you do in your life, rather than serve God. The U.S. economy is transforming to a service economy where only the well-educated have a reasonable chance of economic advancement. This, however, raises questions about America's future. Can the United States remain strong if our budget and trade deficits continue to grow? Is North American integration the only solution to continued U.S. prosperity? It's like walking down a canyon, that when you first walk into it is very broad. It's very easy to get in and out. But as you go down, it twists and it turns, and you go mile after mile after mile, and it gets more narrower as you go. And you learn to cope with it, it becomes more narrow, but until it gets down to the point that it's so narrow, you only have one way to go. So you think you're going to go back out of it, and you look behind you, and lo and behold, the walls of the canyon have collapsed behind you, and you have nowhere to go but forward. Let me read you some things here in just a bit. Though maintaining devastating budget deficits, pursuing open border policies, entitlement programs, and not correcting the structural advantages enjoyed by China and other countries, America has done serious economic harm to itself. What's more, it has given China a strong economic advantage which may be used by them as political leverage. Not may be, is being used by them. The real federal budget deficit for 2006, not the $248.2 billion. Isn't that wonderful? President Bush gets up there and says, guess what? We brought the budget down, and this year it's only $248 billion. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. But that's not the truth. That's not the truth. Let me read you. And he's only spouting off what he's told, what figures they give him. Because he knows if he would tell the truth, he wouldn't have a ghost of a chance. And he probably thinks that he has to do this because it is the best that he can do. Now let's come to Isaiah 24, verse 16. First part of it has to do with the resurrection and taking over of the world government by the sons of God. Isaiah 24 and verse 16. But I said, leanness to me, leanness to me, woe is me. Deceivers deceive, even treacherously. Deceivers deceive. Now, how much have they deceived us concerning the budget? And remember, foreigners own the greatest proportion of the debts that we have. And also understand this, if you don't understand it. When President Roosevelt started the borrowing of money by the federal government, they had to set up a separate United States of America corporation separate from the government in order to legally borrow. And it has turned out that in order to back all the borrowing that goes clear back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt to this day, all of the national parks of the United States are pledged as security. You don't know that, do you? And today we are not under constitutional law and have not been since that time. We are under maritime law. And whenever you see the American flag flown in any courtroom with a golden ribbon around it, it looks beautiful, wonderful, we're all glad to see that. That means you're not under constitutional law, you're under maritime law. They still adhere to some constitutionality, you see. But that will soon be wiped away with the North American Union because there's no way around it. And then, as I mentioned before, Schwarzenegger can become the president of the North American Union. The Constitution of the United States will be totally overridden by the Constitution of the North American Union. They will then be able to confiscate all guns, all weapons, because the treaty overrides the Constitution. They won't have to amend it. They won't have to do away with it. They will just ignore it and follow the North American Union Constitution. Now, let me read you about the deficit. Let's look at this spin control, as it were, on the budget. The real federal budget deficit in 2006, $4.6 trillion. Now, how did it get from 248.2 billion to 4.6 trillion? And that's only part of the story. The 2006 federal budget deficit was 4.6 trillion, but not according to the federal government. According to the 2006 financial report, the United States government released by the U.S. Department of Treasury on Friday, December 15, 2006, the deficit was only $248.2 billion, prompting the Bush administration to hail the fact that the deficit is shrinking. The enormous size of the actual deficit puts the government in a bind. The 2006 federal budget deficit of $4.6 trillion is $1.1 trillion more than the 2005 federal budget deficit, says John Williams, who publishes the internet website Shadow Government Statistics. The Bush administration is in an untenable situation with the budget deficit this dramatic. Now listen to this. Taxing 100% of all wages, salaries, and corporate profits would not eliminate a deficit of this magnitude. That is just for the current year. And cutting Social Security and Medicare spending is politically impossible. But why the disparity in the two numbers? Williams commented that the U.S. Treasury Department's 2006 federal report of the U.S. government shows that when the budget deficit is examined on generally accepted accounting practices, GAAP, the actual deficit number is nearly 19 times the size of the gimmick official deficit of 2006, being $248 billion. Now, why? Because all Social Security money coming in and all Medicare money coming in, which it has been for decades, is used as regular income. And there is no such thing as a lockbox. And when Ronald Reagan said it in the 1980s, he knew better. But that money is still due, correct? It is an entitlement, correct? So here's how they come to it. Fiscal year 2006, formal cash-based deficit, $247.7 billion. General accepted accounting practices, which, by the way, did they not put away the presidents of Enron and the presidents of other companies for not using general accepted accounting practices? Yep. Okay. General accepted accounting practices for the federal deficit without Social Security or Medicare deficit, which is then what you already owe. Because, see, what they do, they get the money for Social Security and Medicare, and then the government conveniently borrows it and puts in an IOU. Mm-hmm. So the deficit without Social Security and Medicare deficit was $449.5 billion. General accepted accounting practices with Social Security and Medicare deficit added in for the 1 year, $4.6 trillion. This is on page 153 of the book, Late Great USA. You get the book, the author is Jerome Corsi. Okay? General accepted accounting practices, the federal negative net worth. Negative net worth. We already owe this to everyone who's supposed to receive Social Security. $53.1 trillion. So then the gross federal debt with the other agencies, because they also float bonds, $8.5 trillion. So the total federal liabilities with general accepted accounting practices for everything the government owes, $54.6 trillion. Now, that's to say nothing of private debt, state debt, regional development agencies debt, corporate debt. Judgment is coming. And when it comes, you better be ready. You better keep your head low, keep your profile low, because it's coming. Now, let's talk about what we need to do. Now, I don't want you to be frightened with gloom and doom. Well, you know, all Fred Coulter does is give us gloom and doom, and the end is near. But, brethren, somebody's got to live in the times of the end when the end is near, right? Do we not live in those times? What are we going to do? Do you want me to shut up and plead and preach nice platitudes to you? Do you want me to do like the children of Israel asked their ministers to do? Now let's come to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30. And what I read about don't make whores out of your daughters. If any woman objects to that, shame on you. I'm not picking on women. But Satan knows that if he gets the women, he's got the men. Goes clear back to Garden of Eden, doesn't it? Okay? Now. So no, I'm not going to preach you nice platitudes, but I'm also going to tell you that if you love God and keep his commandments, he will be with you, and that will be in the next section that I will do here. Isaiah 30. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not of me. Maybe Oprah or Dr. Phil. Who cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Those who set out to go down to Egypt have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the shadow of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. And remember, what does it say back there in Revelation 11:8? That the city of Jerusalem is likened unto Sodom and Egypt. In other words, this is saying you are going into demonic and satanic practices. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and your trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your curse. Now, let's come down here to verse 8. Go now, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book. And you got it, don't you? Yes. So that it may be for the time to come forever and ever, and that means at the end of the age, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. This brings us back where we started, doesn't it? Back in Deuteronomy. Yes. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, that's to their ministers, see not. And to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, but preach to us smooth things. Prophesy falsehood. Go out of the way, that is, out of the way of God. Turn aside out of the path that God has given us to walk in. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before our eyes. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word, and trusted in oppression, and perverseness, and rust on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out like a high wall. That's what just happened this past couple weeks in the financial markets. Swelled out as a falling wall, but they were able to bring it back a little bit. Whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of a potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He will not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragment a shard to take fire from the hearth, or to put water, to take water out of the pit. So how are we going to survive? How do we focus in this? Will God watch over us? And remember, in the mix of all of this, what do we find? Prophecy of a Laodicean church. And a lot of you who hear these messages know that the churches you go to and the ministers that you listen to are no more than political flunkies trying to endure to the end of their retirement age so they can have a retirement off your tithes and offerings. And you are mesmerized by their stupidity. Will you be able to stand alone when the trial comes? Will you be strong in God? There's a reason why I've had the sermons, "Be Strong in the Lord." Because these things are coming. And they're going to come hard. And unless you are prepared spiritually, and unless you truly have faith in God, you're going to be swept up into the disaster like everyone else. Let's go to the next track.